Introducing the D'Addario Auto Lock, made with locking strap ends for an easy-to-use, clip-on system. When you're done, just pull the latch and slide it off. Keep your guitar on lock with the D'Addario Auto Lock.
It's a small thing to make such a big sound,
right? It sounds like a freight train. Hey, I'm John Bolger with Premier Guitar. I'm with Jerry Douglas in his studio in Nashville. Jerry Douglas is probably the most recorded dobro lap steel player in history. I mean,
it's possible, I guess. I mean, I'm not counting. Somebody's keeping track of this. Yeah. Somebody's keeping track of this stuff, but it's not me.
Well, and 14 Grammys, right?
Yeah.
God, that adds up.
Yeah.
I mean,
I want to melt them down and make one big one. Put it out in the front yard.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't. That's a lie.
Well, great. Well, thanks for having us in your studio, man. What a treat.
Fun. Welcome to the squirrel nest. That's what it is. Really? What we call it, the squirrel nest.
That's fitting. I get it.
It's got a big old weather vane on top of the building, and it's a squirrel. It's not a rooster or anything like that. It's a squirrel.
Oh, that's great.
And it was there when I moved here, and I actually watched them build this garage.
Oh, really?
Because I lived down the road, and I came home one day off the road, and my wife and daughters said, this house is too small, and the one up the road is for sale. You should buy it.
And so that was it.
They live in it more than I do. So
right, you're here.
They live here. So yeah. I said the only thing is I have to have that attic up over the garage.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Why would you ever leave?
So I just filled it up with Dobros and recording equipment and a few other things, and we're ready to go.
Yeah. Speaking of Dobros and recording equipment, let's start with this guy right here.
This is a Lap King guitar made by a friend of mine, Jim Dumont, up in Connecticut. And he's been making me guitars, lap steel guitars, for 15 years now.
Wow. So back in the day, you used to play like old Ricks and
yeah,
all that variety.
I've got a pile of Gibsons and Nationals and Ricks and Oahus and things like that sound great. I mean, they sound great for what they do. They're exactly what you need. But this is more of a hybrid of all of those things.
Right.
So it's, you know, and it's got the old Supro pickup back here, and a foil pickup up here. They're both Lawler pickups.
Great.
And we've got this gizmo back here. Now,
let's hear about that.
This is. So it changes. I'm in D tuning right now. And I can, if I throw this forward, I go to my regular Dobro kind of G tuning.
Wow. So how close is it with just hitting it like that? Are you
goes dead on. Yeah, it's like it never lets me down. I mean, if you change, it depends on your string age, right? If you
put
strings on, they're still stretching and everything. Well, this thing is really going to stretch them out. I mean, especially so I put them on and put them on in the D position, and then while I'm stretching them, I leave it in the G.
Huh.
And I haven't played this for a little while, so it may be a little wonky, but it's great. It has a roller nut up here. that makes all of that possible, because you know, you're just rolling over raw metal back here, but there's a lot of friction if you just use a regular bridge up here.
Yeah.
So those rollers, like a pedal steel, everything comes back.
Oh, that's great.
But it's great for me because I only have to carry one lap steel.
Right.
I play predominantly out of a G tuning or a D tuning, you know, most of my material. So it makes it easier. And I also have one on the Dobro too. So it cuts down the, you know, taking space, you know, for flying or
well,
buses,
and
anything.
And a quick change on songs, you're just immediately
in
there.
In the middle of your solo, you can go to the other tuning.
Oh God, that's great.
Yeah. So, and I've done that. It'll scramble your brain when you're first learning how to go back and forth, but it works out pretty good.
Yeah, I bet. So it's looks like a maple top.
Yep.
And
maple top
and mahogany body.
It's a mahogany body and neck, and but a little veneer up here, and just beautiful work. This guy does great work.
Yeah.
I've got them in different colors, but this is the only one I have with the hip shot on it. So this does the work.
So the builder actually invented the
tune? Hip shot?
Yeah, the hip shot as well, or is
Dave Borzoff, the guy that's been making hip shot stuff for years, for a lot of bass players who want to drop D.
Yeah.
All I had to do was hit the switch up here.
Sure.
That's his.
Okay.
He said, but this was the first thing that he built, and he said, oh, nobody will ever use that, and he threw it in a corner, and I said, go get it.
Yeah.
Because I need that. So I'm the guinea pig, and I try all of these things. Yeah. So,
yeah, what a great idea.
It's working, man. It's the best thing that's I've come upon in a long, long time.
Wow. Now, you're talking about new strings. How often do you change strings, and what brand and gauge do you usually use?
I use D'Addario strings on everything.
Yeah.
And they're the same gauges. Like I go from a 16, 18, 26 or 28, probably 26 on the lap steel, 35, 45, 56.
So lap steel and Dobro is basically the same setup.
Yeah. When I drop D, you know, I have to chase that around a little bit because it's oscillating slowly.
Right.
So you have to chase it around a little bit.
Killer.
I haven't played this guitar in months, so I'll let it be a little out of tune just for a second.
Sure. Well, and we're saying you're going to Ireland,
yeah,
and Jamaica in 3 days. So this is kind of your gear shakedown anyway.
I'm glad you guys showed up.
Yeah, right.
Because I could put it and make sure I know how to put it all together without my guy going with me.
Right, and I imagine you've got your touring rigs for like your with the Alison Krauss gig. That's one setup.
That's a different setup than this. This is for my sort of jazz electric band.
Yeah,
you know, because I've one half of the pedal board is for the lap steel, like starting with the Memory Man.
Yeah, that's a good segue. Let's talk about let's talk about this. Kind of take us through the chain of you're going from the lap steel
from the guitar into the pedal, into the volume pedal.
That Boss. Okay, good.
And from there into the Memory Man.
Okay.
Which is hit and miss. You know, every day it's going to sound different, and you have to make sure that somehow something hasn't moved and flipped the switch from chorus to vibrato.
Right.
And they're kind of old school, but nothing sounds like it.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're amazing. Is that an older one or just miles on it?
Just high miles. High miles. I've got a couple of that were made in the 70s.
Oh wow, great.
But you know they have the power cord coming right out of them. So I love that. But they don't road at all.
Yeah.
And then today we're going into a reverb pedal.
But what you were saying, you're not really a reverb guy.
I'm not a reverb guy. I like delays.
Yeah.
I like delays. I mean, I can control the delay, and I like the sound of delay better than just a big cloud of blah,
sure,
on top, yeah, of it.
Gives you a little more distinction in those notes. And
then I'm going from that into a Timmy pedal that's a distortion pedal, overdrive distortion pedal, and it's just nasty.
Sure.
It's just ugly.
Now, coming in, that was just the amp sound, right?
Yeah.
You know, what amp is that?
That's an old, it's an old, about 1954 Fender Vibralux.
Very cool.
That I got very cheap a long time ago from a good friend, and now I've offered to sell it back to him for the same amount, you know, 100 times, and he said, no, man, that's your amp now.
Yeah.
And it's been on a lot of records.
That is a good friend.
Yeah, it's a good friend.
Yeah.
That's a really good friend. But that's an old amp, and whoever had it didn't like the tweed. Whenever the black amps came out, he said, oh, I got to make it look new. So yeah, he ripped the tweed off of it, and he put this black Naga hide on there.
Perfect.
Stop the wanton slaughter of the baby Nagas. Yeah. And so we've got Naga hide on there. I've got a newer, one of the newer deluxes downstairs, yeah, that I travel with. I, yeah, don't travel with this guy.
Sure, that's more of the studio,
yeah,
rig.
Yeah, he's too dependable. And so is that one down there, and it's got the new, it's got a new mod in, and it's all hardwired and everything. It sounds great.
So that's a newer issue of the
Tweed Deluxe.
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, that's,
yeah,
great.
So they're essentially the same amp. Well, this one has vibrato, but I never use it.
Yeah.
You know? So so there, that's the rundown of, I mean, and I'm also going through a Qtron with this thing too once in a while, just for different voices, you know.
Let's hear that Timmy. Let's hear some nastiness.
So that's just the amp right there.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, that sounds great alone.
So it's,
see what he did there? That's like magic.
There's some sick stuff can happen. Timmy pedal, it's a little noisy, but who cares?
Right,
who's going to hear the noise when that's kind of what I was wanting?
Right? Yeah, right.
You hit that, you expect a little noise when you hit that pedal. So, but
yeah, that's fantastic.
But I don't use the Timmy pedal and the Qtron at the same time, really, because it's just distorting a
sure. It's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's, you're right. That is, so we were talking earlier about the whole Jerry Garcia thing, and that is,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so Jerry.
Also, Terrapin Station, man. It's just, that's the sound of that Terrapin Station.
Great.
To me. I mean, yeah, that's as close as I'm going to, this Jerry, this Jerry is going to get, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I love, but playing lap steel or dobro, I like, I've been playing them both for so long that I like changing voices.
Sure.
You know, for behind different tunes, and I don't think that I would ever use a Qtron on an Alison Krauss record.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, probably not.
I don't see the two of those things going together really, but you know, if Elvis Costello wants it, it works.
Yeah.
You know, so
I bet, man, that's got to be a, all the people you record with, you, do you just show up with everything you guess they might want? Or, I mean, like Elvis Costello, there's no telling what he might want, right?
I know, you know, and then I get there and they go, oh, let's just use dobro.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, like third trip in. Of,
yeah,
yeah,
I had all of this stuff the other day, and I went in with James Taylor, and And I kind of knew it was just going to be Dobro, but I didn't want to be, didn't want to have to leave and go get anything.
Sure.
You know? So yeah. I took it all and we just used the Dobro.
Yeah, easy enough.
And it sounded great. It was perfect thing to have. I mean, there were a couple things that I said, you know, we need something that this sustains. Instead of me playing, staccato notes aren't going to work because they're all, it's all this beautiful guitar that you're playing. And every time I play a note, I feel like I'm stepping on you.
Huh.
So if I create a bed underneath you, I'll feel a whole lot better about this.
Right, right.
You know, so that would have been a time to use the lap steel, but I talked him into having Larry Golding just put a B3 under it.
Oh, cool.
So
yeah, that's James Taylor. What an amazing guitar player that guy is.
I know,
right?
He's been working for a long time on this guitar record.
Huh, cool.
But it's not, he's singing. He's not just playing instrumentals or something.
Yeah.
So, he is an incredible guitar player. And,
right.
And the chordal mastery he has, you know, his theory mastery is just way out.
Yeah, well, that'll be a cool project. Can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, this is a good segue. Let's start talking about your Dobro rig.
Okay. This guitar, you know, okay, Dobro is a brand name.
Yeah.
And Gibson owns Dobro. And yeah, for a while I had a deal with Gibson. I've got one over there, and I had a whole bunch of people sign the back of it. But they made some really nice guitars for me that were what I wanted, but the price kept going up and up and up. And yeah, I wanted it to be an entry level kind of guitar for
yeah,
somebody to get. I didn't want it to be fancy, didn't even have a sunburst on it, you know, just mahogany.
Yeah.
And the price was supposed to be $1,700. And the end price when I got my divorce from Gibson, it was $5,100.
Wow.
And that's really a deterrent to play a Dobro.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
You should make people want to buy these things and be able to buy these things.
Right. What did you pay for your first Dobro, do you think?
My first really good Dobro, I paid $250 for it. and it's the only guitar I ever sold, because I bought another one, a really good one, for $450. And I tried to get the two. I've given instruments away, but I've never sold one.
Yeah.
Except for that one.
Yeah.
And he wanted to give it back to me, but his mother-in-law was mad at me for not using him on a record. it's crazy shit. But anyway, I've got a plan with Paul Beard, this guy makes these guitars, Beard, and this is called a Black Beard. I mean, I told him, I said, if you can make me a black guitar, the first Dobro, real Dobro I ever saw as a kid, and I couldn't afford it. It was probably $150, but I didn't have $150. I was 10. I didn't have $150. So I see it was black and it had a red fingerboard, and he said, nobody's going to want that. And that's the biggest selling thing he's got.
Oh, really?
So
oh,
yeah, everybody's, you know, they're great guitars. They're mahogany, sides and back and top and neck, everything.
Now, did he stain the board red, or is it just a really red wood?
It's a really red wood. I mean, it really doesn't have, probably has a little bit of stain on it just yeah, to keep it really red.
Yeah, it's really striking.
It's really red.
Yeah.
But and it looks weird stuck on a black guitar, but that's what I remembered, and that's what I, you know, I thought, if I remember something for that long, that if it made such an impression on me, I think it will on other people too. So that's what we're going.
Okay,
that's the
great
plan anyway.
And you've got the same hip shot tuner
got the
on
hip
this
shot
one
on here.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. And
it's wonderful.
One pickup right in this thing, or what's your
there's
pickup?
Another there's a screen pickup up here too, but I've got there's a Nashville, it's called a Nashville pickup back here. It's a Fishman pickup that we worked on, and it's a sandwich of an element between maple, just like the normal maple inserts that the Dobro players use.
Yeah.
But we also put set screws in the back here, so you don't have to like pull it out with a, you know, you don't have to cut it and do all this kind of, or force it down in there. These set screws, it's a little tight, but when you put the set screws in, nothing's coming out, and there's no vibration, no movement, nothing like that. We also changed the cover plate for the first time since 1928.
Oh, wow.
And so we got a fellow that made spinners wheels.
Oh, really?
And got him to design a whole bunch of these cover plates for us.
Great.
And he just went nuts, man.
You went with a literal hubcap.
Yeah. It's a hubcap guitar.
It's a literal hubcap guitar.
People want to call it a hubcap guitar. Well, there it is. And so this one's called the Spinning Palm. But there are some other really Celtic, nice Celtic designs. Huh. Beautiful, beautiful stuff that you could have a choice of if you buy one of these guitars or any of Paul Beard's guitars.
Oh, that's cool.
And I stuck this other pickup on here.
Now, is there a control to go between the two, or is it just already blended naturally?
No, there is. You have to come out. I come out of the guitar stereo.
Oh.
And this pickup, I don't have it even plugged in right now. I'm just running mono out of the guitar, out of the main pickup here.
Oh, so separate outputs for the...
Yeah, separate outputs, but it has a low shelf that the guitar does not have ever.
Yeah.
And it just gives you a little more beef in the low end.
Sure. Do you ever run the pickup through a dirty amp and then
you can run this amp straight to some small, you know, 10-12 watt amp and just open it all the way up, and every once in a while hit the other volume pedal and you got dirt for days. That's all it does.
That's great. Oh, and I noticed on both guitars you're using these little clip-on tuners.
Well, I've got these up here on the guitar. These are a D'Addario, a little guitar pickups they're small and they fly, they come off and you can lose them. Yeah. But I've also always got a polytone down here.
But you kind of do a tempered tuning when you're tuning anyway.
Well, my second strings, like if you're tempering, tuning on a piano, it's the same thing. I have to tune my seconds in order to have a straight chord because you're using a straight line here.
Yeah.
I tune about that second string is almost 7 cents flat.
Wow. So are you?
Tuned it to a real B.
Yeah.
You know, a real B is sharp to the triad.
Do you when you're tuning it like that 7 cents flat? Are you actually looking at the sense on there or kind of doing it by ear?
I'm using my ear for that.
Earballing it.
I'm earballing it. Exactly what I was going to say. And I thought, I don't know if anybody will get that, but earballing. You got to. I mean, it's harder to, in a loud situation, you need a tuner.
Sure.
Because you can look at it. But most situations that I play in, if I hear the second string and if it's sharp or flat, I hear it.
Yeah,
you know, when I go straight to it.
You're constantly adjusting with your hand.
And I've got this to change the tuning, too.
Yeah, right. And speaking of that, let's talk about your bars and your picks. What bars are you using?
These are Waves. They're made by Paul Beard, this fella here. He and I worked on these bars, and they're different. They're a different angle on each end. This is a 20-degree angle. This is a 10-degree angle. The bars that we all started playing with as dobro players back in the day, the Stevens bars, they were all a 10-degree or flat, totally flat, probably. There was a guy named Ron Tipton who was the first guy to change the bars and made them to where more like they felt better in your hand.
Huh.
They were made, plating was better. I mean, I could use a Stevens bar. When I stopped using those, I was going through one every 3 months because the plating was just coming off. I mean, I see it all over my fingerboard, all over the floor.
Wow.
It was a bad plating. But so the scientists got a hold of these, and so we've got it now to where there are different angles on each side. And I said, I can't tell which side I have. You know, if I just grab it, I don't know which side I have without looking at it. So I said, just put a dot, you know, or something, some mark that I can feel with my thumb. So he put my name in it.
That's right.
So again, my name, which is I'm not that guy. I don't want to see my name everywhere.
But Jerry, like I said, 14 grams. You win 14 grams, you're going to put your name on some stuff.
There's a big drape over all of them in the house.
That's great. Hey, and before I forget, pick-wise, on lap steel, you're only using the thumb pick, right?
Lap steel, I like playing. A lot of times I don't even use the thumb pick.
Really?
Because you've got a volume pedal.
Sure.
You know, and it's not an acoustic instrument, so you can make it louder with a volume pedal and get it and really be in touch with the strings.
Right.
You know, Chet Atkins, Tommy Emmanuel,
right.
Mark Knopfler, you know, they're not doing it wrong.
I mean,
you know, all the greatest guitar players, you know, not the flat pick guys so much, but all great guitar players, electric and otherwise, I think most of them use picks. Derek Trucks.
Yeah.
His guitar tech's got the easiest gig in the world. He's got all he needs is a slide and a guitar and a cable.
Yeah.
And
we did his rundown, and it was about as sparse
as it
gets.
5 seconds.
Right.
But it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, no one sounds like that. I mean, that's what I, when I, first time I heard Derek, I was standing there with Susan, and she said, "What do you think?" And I said, "That's what I always imagined sounding like if I played electric." So much for that. I guess I don't have to do that. I'll go out on the limb for myself and just say I think he's the best slide player ever lived.
Yeah, he never runs out.
No,
you know
it's
mean?
Not like Dwayne was great, but we all learn from people.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the bar should be getting higher.
Yeah, and Dwayne had a short run. I mean,
it was so short.
Yeah.
When you think about it, I mean, what would he be like? You know, he'd be Buddy Guy.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right, yeah.
And those guys are all about the same age. And who knows what he would have done.
Right, yeah.
You know, just by listening, just by keeping his ears open to the younger guys and adapting.
Yeah.
I love Derek's playing though, and I love how creative it is, and how beautiful the tone is, and just how he uses it. You know, he's not everywhere. He's not playing all the time, and he knows how to build a solo.
He knows how. He knows when.
He knows how to bring an audience just like
that. Yeah.
You know, and that's cool. I mean, we all work toward that. We all work to that. We all work to the crescendo, but you know, there's the time when you don't want to do that. Too.
Sure.
And just because you're building for the next one will be the really big one.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a plan.
Right.
That's what it is.
So, well, and as far as the picks you are using,
this is a blue chip thumb pick.
Yeah,
this stuff is some kind of NASA stuff for the blade of the pick. And they're made by Blue Chip out of East Tennessee. Matthew Goins is the fella that makes these. But when he makes them and he grinds them, there is a blue spark that flies off of this.
Oh, really?
So they're called blue chip. Hmm. And
how long do those last you? Because
normal person can use one of these for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
But I'd go through one about every 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, you really dig in, man.
Yeah, well, these wound strings on the bottom, you know, really eat up a pick. I mean, and I played football in high school, and I broke my thumb about 3 times, so the angle's probably really bad. And so I just cut a moon out of everything. But a regular thumb pick, before I got to these blue chips, I was using a National thumb pick or a Jim Dunlop thumb pick, you know, and I was burning one up every set.
Yeah, I bet.
Every set, I'd have to get another thumb pick. So, I mean, this is a good investment.
right.
For anybody.
Yeah. And finger picks?
Finger picks are pro picks. Pro picks. And these are double wraps. So they're more adjustable than just a single National wrap.
Now when you're using new picks, do you tweak them with pliers and get them just right where you want them, or leave them pretty much?
The pro picks are pretty much good to go.
Really?
I mean,
do they flip on the end, or they just?
Well, they eventually do. See, you can see it. Where it's kind of melted.
But that's just mileage.
That's just mileage. And I do break them. back here in this blade from because you play hard, they bend. Metal fatigue. Yeah. It's going to happen. And I broke one up in Saskatchewan. Good luck finding good luck finding a pro. But the band that was opening for us, the guy, there was a clawhammer banjo player, and he said, I got this pick. And he said, I never use this pick. And it was like the only one in Saskatchewan. I'm not going to turn it down. And there it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm still using it. So
thanks, guy.
He knows I've thanked him a million times. Yeah. Every time I see him, I shake his hand, buy him dinner.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's hear about you running out of the guitar into
an Aura, a Fishman Aura, A-U-R-A.
Sure.
That I did all, and it's got 16 settings on it. It's got a blend knob and it's got a volume knob, and the 16 settings each is a different microphone.
Mm.
Up at the top is a U67, which is my favorite recording microphone.
Now, when you were helping build these sounds, did they like literally put you in a room and mic you with that mic? And
we did, yes. We used, how we did it was used the pickup. We ran the pickup and the microphone at the same time, and the what happened was then they would make the pickup emulate the microphone wave.
Oh.
And
science, computer
science,
stuff.
Science. I didn't understand it, and I watched Larry Fishman do it. I mean, and I think that's the reason that these took so well to the Aura system, because we did them one at a time. We didn't put up a whole bunch of microphones in front of it and then just record it.
Yeah.
And we did them one at a time. We did them at different levels, different distances from the guitar. We did a detuning, we did a G-tuning. We really exhausted the possibilities.
That's great.
And then I went through all of them later, listened to the recordings, and that one, all these different microphones.
Did you feel like at the end of it, during the testing period, would you say, okay, that sounds just like my mic? Did you?
Yeah. It sounds just like the 67, it sounds like the 67, and it doesn't make you sound like me.
Yeah.
It makes you sound like, it gives you a good start on what you sound like.
Right.
And then you can need do EQ and things like that after the box.
Sure.
But you want to go through the Aura first.
Okay,
and
sure.
What I use on the setting that I like the most is an old RCA Ribbon 77.
Hey, can we do a quick E, like an A-B between that and the...
And we're going through an AER amplifier. There might be a little EQ back there. It's a little dark, but here, okay, we'll start at the top. This is the 67.
Yeah.
And then we'll move down to the 77 is a little fuller, tubbier, little more beautiful in the low end, little less sharp on the high end. Hmm. And there's an El Diablo in here. There's an AK-47 in here. I think this is a... That's the El Diablo.
So when you're live, do you generally just find one tone and stay with it for the gig, or do you tweak as you go?
I usually stay with it, but you could actually use these as EQ.
Yeah.
You know, because, okay, here's a 58 or an SM58. Got that, you know, you could hammer nails with it, with it, and then plug it in, and it's a little crisp and little crunchy.
Yeah, sure. It is
compared,
cool, the compared personalities.
To a little nicer to the ear.
Yeah, that's.
But I find that's for my usual setting. But if the band gets loud, and I'm having trouble hearing myself cutting through the band, I use ear monitors all the time, but running amps too, I'll also go up to the 67.
Yeah, it has more of a
punchier,
point.
A little pointier, and I'll move up to that. and I can hear myself through the band a little better.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
So so there are different microphones, but they're, if you look at them as EQ and remember which ones do what.
Sure.
You know, write the settings, write 6, you know, 1, 3, whatever it is, which one that you like and its characteristics.
Yeah.
You can go around it and EQ it. I think actually they do get, you know, they do get brighter after the 77, the pickup, the microphones get brighter.
Yeah.
Until you get all the way back to the 57.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ow.
Until you get too bright.
I said, why do we want to use a 57? Why do we want to do a 57? He said, a lot of people are used to hearing their guitar through a 57. I mean, that's what people put up there, and that's what they're used to. That's what they want to hear, so let's give it to them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's another crayon in the box, man.
It's right. Yeah. That's all. That's what all of this stuff is. It's beautiful, and then you start laying effects on it.
That's great. So that's just the Fishman and the Boss Delay, right?
Yeah, that's all that is. Plus, there's a little EQ here. I'm playing through a tone bone, a radial tone bone, that gives you two. You can put two guitars into one.
Yeah, box. That allowed you to switch between the different your electric rig and. Mm-hmm. And dobro.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've done that. But only one side you can EQ, and the other one's just flat.
Okay.
So, and there's some cuts, some notches, and low cut. There's room for a foot switch, and it's got a return loop, send and return, and it's a really nice friendly box. But I have a Felix from it's made by Grace, and it's A range. I mean, it's really top of the line stuff, and the power supply on it is much more friendly.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? There's so many factors that go into this stuff. I mean, does it fit on your board? Is it power friendly?
Yeah,
it's like it's not always about just tone and. Functionality, no. It's all this stuff.
Yeah, and it has to, you know, you're thinking about phase from the guitar to the aura, you know, and then phase exact on the tone bone.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of things that can go wrong.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
We just got lucky today.
Yeah, right, right. And your little AER, what?
AER is a compact 60.
Okay.
And it's that's the same.
That's a loud 60 watts, though. I mean,
it's loud, and I barely have it cracked open, yeah. But I found that on stage with a band, like I've got drums and bass, electric guitar, violin, and two horns going. If I want my guitar to be heard coming off the stage, it needs presence coming off the stage.
Sure. Do you put it in the monitors as well, or just go off that amp?
I just go from that amp. You know, that amp is really just for on-stage presence.
Sure.
I'm listening to myself through ear monitors.
Okay.
Mostly. Until I go to lap steel, then I like to hear the amp.
Sure. Well, and you can kind of feel it like that too. So.
Yeah. It seems redundant to have ear monitors and a great sounding amp that you're not, you know, you're at the mercy of somebody else to EQ it like, you know, you want it. But, you know, I guess if you do it every night, you know exactly what that amp sounds like.
And sure.
I just lose the audience too. A little bit that way. I like having one ear open when I'm using the amp because I love the sound of the amp.
When you're doing the Union Station thing, are you running the amp there? Because that seems like a very quiet stage.
It's a really quiet stage. It's all ear monitors, no amps on stage.
Yeah, in fact, I don't think you're even at pedals or anything.
Yeah, I did. No, oh, yeah. I mean, I had all kinds of stuff going on because I was so sick of being a dobro. You know, so I had delays because I tried to. I had five dobros in different tunings because I had I had sort of put myself in this hole of playing these songs and changing my tuning.
Yeah.
But you know, this hip shot takes care of about three of those guitars.
That's great.
But there were others that were in like F, you know, Man of Constant Sorrow was an F.
Yeah.
And it didn't sound right playing in an F on a G tuning.
Sure.
You know, I dropped the tuning and played it like I did on the record.
Yeah.
And that was it, playing different, you know, so I stopped changing tunings on the records so I could carry less guitars. But I did have, you know, nice spatial sounds, you know, like the delays and the Memory Man was great. You know, there was never any distortion though.
Sure.
Unless I did play some lap steel, you know, like just pads and things, and not a whole lot of solos, but I played a lot of pads underneath. And she would put fiddles and violas on top of that. And we had this big sandwich underneath everything. It was beautiful.
What an amazing band, right?
I know.
I mean,
yeah, man.
God.
Only those people make that sound.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, truly.
She was over here the other day and we were talking about it, you know. We love it. We love it. You know,
sure.
We're all doing different things right now, but we hope to get back to it.
You know? Oh, inevitably.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just,
I mean,
we're, I miss it. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. I mean, I've got three crazy things.
Well, you're never not working on, I mean, you've got so many projects going all the time.
Yeah, I've got a completely acoustic band with the Earls of Leicester.
Sure, with Sean Camp. Yeah, man.
And that is, you know, nothing electric doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
That stuff should be. And I even use different beard guitars. We've got a company called Deco that nobody had copyrighted the word Deco, and I could not understand that.
Whoa.
So we copyrighted the name and started building guitars like the old Dobros, you know,
That's only
with better building techniques. You know, I mean, Dobro got lucky in 27, 28, you know, back in the day. And very few things have changed on these guitars except for the bracing and things that happen inside the guitars.
Yeah.
And so we built some guitars that sound like those guitars, and a lot of people are interested in those since the Earls kind of brought back the flat and scrubs sound.
You guys, it sounds like just guys gathered on one mic and playing. It really has that vibe to it.
It kind of is. You know, we don't use a microphone for everybody. And there's one, maybe two main microphones in the middle, and there's a couple of outside microphones just for backup stuff, so you're not all crowding one, and there's a little more definition. But when it comes down to the singing, all the singing happens in one microphone, and there's choreography, you know, things are moving.
You're mixing by proximity, you know, I mean,
like
you literally move closer, and that's cool.
Yeah, and that whole band is on ears. So, you know, people want to come and watch the band, they want to sit on stage, that's a useless place to be.
They're
going to hear anything there. But if you want to hear us, go sit out there, that's better.
Yeah,
it's the same with Akis. You know, I saw so many disappointed people would come up on stage thinking they were going to hear that, you know, and it was like crickets.
Right.
It's really quiet up there. Yeah. But so that's pretty much my all my secrets all spilled. I spill my guts. You know everything.
Well,
I know.
It is it's amazingly simple. It really comes down to just like great playing, man.
One wire to another box.
Right. Yeah.
And I switch around, man. I've got a pog that I use with the lap steel a lot.
Yeah, I imagine everything's kind of in rotation. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. And like I say, you want to have a bunch of different voices for backing vocals, you know, a different sound. You know, I've got B3 stuff that I can step on and create a bed underneath, you know, with a Dobro, you know, or a lap steel.
Love that.
That it's, you know, it creates another instrument.
Right.
Is what you're really doing.
Yeah.
And that's been what I've been trying to do for years anyway.
Right. Serve the song.
That's right.
Man, one last thing. Who makes those cool Celtic kind of straps?
These straps are made by a fellow named Bobby Poff, who is a saddle maker in Wyoming.
See, that looks like old school cowboy with a Celtic design, but
I mean, he is the real thing, and he's the nicest guy in the whole world. And this strap was one of the first straps that he built for me, that he tooled for me. And I loved it. And he's built, you know, a couple of different ones, a brown one. I've got different colors.
Sure.
And we have a flaming hand one. There are all kinds of things, crazy things. But they're going to be here long after we're gone. These things are, these are built to last. And so is all of this stuff. You want this stuff to be right.
Right.
When you go out on the road. You want it, you want to plug it in. You want it to work.
Yeah.
You know, and
it, that's the worst when it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. You know, you just got to think, well, it's one wire to another thing. You know, they're all chained together and they all go back into the same system. And you have to know how things work.
Yeah.
You really have to try out and run in through their parameters to really know what they do.
Yeah. So take it from 14 Grammy winner Jerry Douglas. Make sure your stuff works.
Yes. Oh, nothing worse than plugging it all in and going.
Yeah. Shouldn't there be a light on? Should there be?
Where? No lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry, thanks a million, man. Yeah. Enjoy the never-ending tour.
Infinity tour.
Yeah.
We're on it.
All right. Till next time. Cheers.
Thanks.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers. See you soon.